Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of the show. Before we get into the results, I do want to mention that we are running a competition this week. At about 6:40, somebody gets a chance to win a free copy on us of FIFA 17. So I'm going to introduce everybody.
Ryan.
Mark.
All right, guys, let's get right into it. Obviously, the first game was a Monday at the Stadium of Light. It was Sunderland versus Everton. Ryan, over to you. Like, what did you make of that game?
Lukaku show, wasn't it? More can you say? Sunderland, pretty poor. Everton, turned it on. Second half, great performance. Three really good goals from Lukaku. And I tell you what, Everton are moving in the right direction. I didn't really fancy them to do much this year, but, you know, we'll get to what they did yesterday. They're definitely moving in the right direction, and they look pretty good.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get right into it then. Obviously, the barn burn of the week was Friday night. It looked like a boxing match, like the way they had the lights. Chelsea versus Liverpool at home at Stamford Bridge. Liverpool smashed them.
Liverpool, they could be the real deal.
I've been saying that.
They could be. I mean, the Burnley game when they lost 2-0 is, they're always going to have the odd game like that. But I'm telling you, against the big teams, they've played two of the top four, if you like, already in Arsenal and Chelsea and got the result. And
Henderson's goal. Yeah. I mean, oh.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible. Wish you would do that for England.
You know what? I've been saying for 2 years that this kid... he used to be the laughing stock of the Premier League, right? It used to be, how is this kid a professional footballer? And I'm telling you, he, in the past 18 months, 2 years, for me, has been one of the best English midfielders around. And look, he's learned his trade from Steven Gerrard. He partners with Lucas Leiva, and he's actually become... really, really decent, really decent player. And his tech, look, you know, I think Gary Neville said it best, where Gary Neville said that he used to go into training at Man United and have to really work on his technique. Like, he had to work harder than anybody else. And I get the same feeling. That's what Henderson's had to do. Henderson's had to work on his technique. He reminds me a lot of almost like a Darren Fletcher. I actually think he's more of a complete midfielder than Darren Fletcher.
He's got more pace.
I actually think he's got the goal scoring skills of like Coutinho. He scores these long range shots from outside the box.
He's not really that kind of player, but he does bring you something. And you know what I like about him is that he is a top professional, to the sense that you see him week in, week out for Liverpool. The desire to wear the shirt. He's got the captain's armband now. Constantly, even if he's not having a great game, he's constantly trying to help his team, with words of encouragement. You see him talking to everybody. And for such a young lad, I just think he could be really, really beneficial for England moving forward.
How old is he?
No more than 23 years old.
You know what I love about the game? Costa scored, and it meant absolutely nothing. Sorry, Chelsea fans.
Typical Costa goal as well, kind of poaching around. It was out of nothing as well, because Chelsea weren't very good in my opinion, in that second half. If anything, Liverpool looked like they could have gone on and done more. But they brought Lucas on to kind of shore up the midfield. They were giving away a few petulant free kicks towards the end, but they really ran the time down well. And it was a really professional... Those are the matches that you look back at the end of the year. Those are the ones that have got you to where you are in the league.
Right.
And I think I'm not going to go out and say they're title contenders, because, again, it's still early days. But definitely, you've got to kind of put them in the hat, maybe above a United, maybe above a Spurs, a top four team.
But I've always said that give Klopp a full season from start to finish, and he'll buy the players and he'll sort the team out. Because that's what a manager needs. He came in, I don't even think it was halfway through the season last year, and didn't really have that opportunity to buy players. You know, fresh new season, he knows who he wants, and he was after them.
Yeah, this was always going to be his year. Like, this was always going to be his year where you'd make the judgment on what kind of a manager he is, what's he getting from his players. And you only have to look at the reaction. Every time they win, he goes and hugs every single one of those players. And they don't just, like, they're not just passing it off as in, oh, this is what he does. They hug him back. Like, they genuinely want to play for this guy.
Right, and that's what you need, a manager that you want to play for.
And I think Liverpool could be really dangerous this year.
Yeah, I've said it. All right, guys, don't forget, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Don't forget, we are running a competition. You want a free copy of FIFA 17, whatever system you play on, we'll get it for you. All right, and that competition will be coming up around about 6:40. All right, so let's move on to the next game, Everton versus Middlesbrough. Yeah. Everton, like you said, they
got their confidence back.
I mean, look, they're at home. Middlesbrough score first with really kind of freaky goal. Like, if you see it, cross comes in, Stecklenburg's coming to gather it, and Negredo kind of gets nothing on the ball, and kind of, I guess the referee thinks that Stecklenburg should have done a lot more with it, but Stecklenburg's gone to catch it, it's come out of his hands and gone in the net. Stecklenburg own goal. I'm telling you right now, 99 times out of 100, that's given as a free kick to the goalkeeper, but it only takes the one. So that's why, you know, fair play for Negredo for getting in there and getting stuck in and you know, getting his team a goal. I mean, 3 minutes later, Gareth Barry scores a really great finish, actually. Kind of bounced around, bounces out to him. The keeper did horrific on that corner. I think it was Ross Barkley put the corner in. The keeper's trying to just wait in his own, like, 2 yards out, just to gather it into his, like, stomach area. Mm-hmm. And can't remember who it was who got a nick on it, but it flicks to Barry. First time finish into the roof of the net, 1-1. And then Seamus Coleman with a great run and a great finish. Yeah. I'd like to see a little more from that. From him this year. A couple of years ago, he was my pick to be kind of a big money target from one of the big European clubs because he's that good. Last year, he had a little bit of injury issues, but yeah, it was nice to see him get on the score sheet and good goal. And then obviously, big Ramu doing what he does and nicking in with a kind of a poacher's goal. And they ran out 3-1. So you've got to say, like, back to back games. Scoring 3 goals, they look
I mean,
good.
You were saying about, obviously, the goal being given as a free kick. It does seem that this year, especially with the new rules, not all the referees are on the same page. And we'll get to that in a bit about how that affected games. The games affected today.
We say it every year, like, about inconsistency and some referees having a different interpretation of the rules. But you know what? That's what makes this game so fascinating. That's what makes it so entertaining.
The drama, the
talking
soap opera
points. You guarantee you'll have people talking about that Stecklenburg own goal tomorrow, like Middlesbrough fans talking about it tomorrow, Everton fans talking about it, and that's what it's all about.
Right.
Getting people talking about it, and, you know.
I do think goal line technology, though, needed to be added.
Yeah, that was perfect timing.
All right, so next game at the KCOM Stadium, Hull versus Arsenal. And Mark is smiling away in the corner.
Resident Guna. Take it away, Guna.
Take it away, Mark.
So I thought we were a bit lucky with some of the calls. Cazorla is probably very lucky to stay on the pitch. We went up 2 goals. Looked like we could have gone and gotten 3, but they played a good through ball. Cech had to come out, make the foul, which was a little belated. The assistant referee called it back, called a penalty. Snodgrass stepped up. Good penalty. Alexi missed one. We seem to be having problems with penalties this year.
Right? He still scored 2, right?
Yes, he still had a brace. His first goal kind of nicked it in off of a Wobey strike.
Didn't know much about it, did he, really?
No, he didn't, but he got the last touch. He was credited with the goal. A Wobey looks good. I'd like to see Xhaka start because, man, that was a brilliant strike in the last couple minutes.
That was a great finish, wasn't it?
It was nice also to see Theo Wilcott get on the score sheet. And we will mention, obviously, Livermore gets sent off.
It was a good finish.
I'm trying to see. Yeah, I thought that was a bit unfair. I'd like to see Xhaka play more. I'm trying to figure out if Henderson's strike was better than Xhaka's. A little bit different context. I mean, Xhaka scored that goal late in the game. Henderson's was definitely way more of a clutch goal at the right time. Kind of put Chelsea back on their feet. But overall, I thought it was a good performance. It was a little nervy there for probably 10 to 15 minutes. But in the last 10, 15 minutes, we seemed to get it together. And we went ahead and killed the game off like I like to see.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add about the game is I actually feel like the scoreline was a little flattering to Arsenal.
Right.
I know they missed a penalty. Livermore gets sent off. I think it was like the 40th minute, something like that. But they go in. I think you were. I think it was only 1-0 at the time, right? Yeah, it was only 1-0, and then Theo scored, and then Snodgrass scores a penalty. And the one thing I'd say about that is, if you want to see a Stonewall penalty, that was it. And you only have to see Petr Cech lying on the ground, didn't make any attempt to get to his feet, his head's in the turf for about 10 seconds, knows it's a penalty. And they did, you're right, there was a delay on them giving it. But yeah, Petr Cech's reaction to that says it all. Stonewall penalty. And a great penalty from Snodgrass. And that, I think my fear is that, look, you're playing against Hull City. You're 2-0 up. They've gone down to 10 men. There's still that glimpse of them getting back in the game, and you let them back into the game for that small thing. Yeah, that's the only reason I'm saying it's a little flattering on Arsenal. Fantastic strike from Xhaka, like you said. That was a fantastic goal.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they were always, once it went down to 10 men, they were always going to win it, even when Snodgrass scores the penalty. But again, it's still a little unconvinced.
Yeah.
But they're moving in the right direction. Look,
I'm a little
unconvinced
as well.
Another 3 points on the board, plenty to go. I'm sure they're not worried about it too much now.
Don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. All things soccer. We're talking about the Premier League right now. Call us on 434-284-9470. You an Arsenal fan? Just let us know what you think of the game so far. It's been really entertaining, basically, the weekend. Obviously, you can get in contact with us on Facebook as well. Hit us up, facebook.com, Blokes on the Bench. And we're also running a competition, don't forget, guys. Win a free copy
of FIFA.
Get your FIFA. Comes out on the 27th of September. And we got two copies this week. One copy this week and one copy next week to give away. And it looks really good. I mean, I think it's one of the most important...
Graphics look great.
It's one of the most important aspects of soccer in America, FIFA. Absolutely. And Frostbite, which is a technology they use, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Battlefield games, they've brought that in this year, so it just adds more realism. Anyway, we'll get to that. Our next game, King Power Stadium, Leicester City play Burnley.
Leicester back on track, aren't they?
Yeah. They needed this.
That was an absolute bullet header from Slimani. Yeah, oh my God, what a bullet. So he looks like a good addition. Managed to get another one as well just after halftime. And then Ben Mee, the own goal, you see it all the time. I mean, it was just pretty standard. But yeah,
3 points.
Leicester looked really comfortable start to finish. Burnley really didn't do anything.
Right.
So that's a little worrying for them, especially, you know, you go into the home of the champions, you're playing against the champions who haven't had the best of starts to the season.
This should be your chance.
I was just expecting a little bit more of a fight from them.
Right.
But again, Leicester did the business, 3 points on the board, they're back moving in the right direction. So things are slowly kind of making themselves as it was, kind of thing. So
they settling in. They look good midweek in Champions League as well.
Very good.
We will get to that. Yeah.
I think that was a massive confidence booster for him going into this weekend.
Talk about big scorelines. Manchester City. Obviously, I was going to say Man United there. I wish. Manchester City at the Etihad Stadium against Bournemouth.
Kevin De Bruyne show.
Do you know that Pepe tried to have a go at United today by saying that Bournemouth were probably the top team that played?
It was kind of like a little
dig at United.
That's all right.
He said they were the first team to really press them this season, that made it a little bit more difficult. But I think De Bruyne is starting to look like one of the best players in the league for sure.
Right.
Yeah. He was involved in every single goal.
They just said assist.
And you just look at the goals that they scored were really, really like great team goals. But De Bruyne, like the amount of space that he finds, no matter what time of the game it is. I mean, he did it in the 15th minute, like the 25th minute, the 48th minute, and the 66th minute. He just finds these massive pockets of space. Like, just ludicrous. Like, I dream about seeing a Man United player in that amount. Well, we do see him. His name's Wayne Rooney, but when he gets the ball, he can't really do anything with it. But, yeah, De Bruyne, I mean... He's your £100 million player for sure. Just absolutely bananas, that kid. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. City look good. City are the team to beat. I know it's early doors and we've seen it. They're a bit iffy in their first two games. I spoke about that last week. But my God, they settled in to the way that Pep wants them to play and they look really, really good. Again, no Aguero. So Iheanacho got his goal, got an assist. Raheem Sterling, goal, assist. Kevin De Bruyne is involved in all four goals. I mean, yeah, just they are the team to beat.
Just smashing people left, right, and center.
Yeah.
All right, well, then we go to the Hawthorns for the next game. West Bromwich versus West Ham.
Yeah, I'm starting to have to like eat my words on all my predictions because last week I'm saying West Brom can't hit the back of the net. And they're like 3-0 up at halftime. Rondon was a really good finish. Chadley, he's come in and I think it was a penalty, his first one. But his second one was a really tidy finish. A really well-worked team goal. James McLean's was just kind of a toe-ender from like 3 yards out. But West Ham, you got a fear for West Ham. Like you're going to somewhere like West Brom, like you go to West Brom and you're 4-0 down. Yeah, they did get two goals. Antonio with yet another header, which was a really good finish, and Lanzini with a penalty. West Ham, I really expected them to bounce on this year, and they've had a couple of really poor results.
New stadium.
Yeah.
You know, everything's
it's not necessarily that they're playing that. Well, they are playing bad, but. It's not really
the hammer
in the final
improve.
Third. They're doing some really, really good stuff. Unfortunately, in defence and midfield at the moment, there just doesn't seem to be that much graft in there. And I know they lost Tompkins, went to where did he go? Someone signed him anyway in the summer because he scored today for somebody. I just can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
They just look a little bit lightweight back there. Which I never thought I'd really say about West Ham defense, but
I mean they're only one spot above the relegation zone right now,
yeah.
So that's definitely something to worry about.
Yeah. All right, guys, coming up after 20 over half past the hour, obviously Man United versus Watford, and we'll get to that. And obviously your chance to win FIFA. We will be right back, guys. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Blokes on the Bench. Okay, Vicarage Road, not a great place to be today if you're a United fan. Watford versus Man United.
I think that's come on, it all, let's, don't it?
Let's be as impartial as we can, guys. Obviously, just, Mark's excluded from that.
Just, you know what? Fair play to
absolutely,
Watford.
Absolutely. Cannot take. They got the points. 3 points is 3 points. They took it from us. They didn't even take it from us. We just let them. Yeah, here you go. Here's the 3 points, bud.
We have so many issues across the park. It's. I mean, where do you start? I could go on for the whole hour about what is going on. So, where I first want to start is, so we're playing Rashford out wide. Get it, okay? We need him in the team. He's
absolutely
young, he's fresh. This kid loves to receive a ball around a corner,
and
either
run.
Knock it round a last man, or bomb to the byline and put crosses in. If you've acquired Zlatan Ibrahimovic, that's what he wants. He wants that player to get to the byline, put balls in all day long, front post, back post, in the
whatever
air,
way you
on
like.
The ground. waist height. We have a man in the area that can create 1 yard of space better than anybody I've ever seen and finish those types of crosses. We don't give Rashford the ball enough. Just give the kid the ball. Because the thing is, when you do that and you have someone like Rashford taking it round and tearing the right back to shreds,
right.
What happens then is you either have your, as a defender, you have your right-sided centre-back have to start coming over to double up, or you remove a central midfielder to come and help your right back to try and double up Rashford, which creates a massive hole in the middle of the park, which you would think would be perfect for somebody like Wayne Rooney, for Juan Mata, or whoever plays the third kind of position up there. And we don't do it. We don't utilise our players. We don't understand that we have a player that could actually create so much space in the final third for everybody else.
Right.
But instead of giving him the ball at every opportunity and just being like, go on, kid, do your thing, we want to go infield, we want to spray it out to the right back, we want to cut it back to Chris Smalling, we're going to play it to Bally and out to Luke Shaw and then back infield to Rooney. It's just so poor. We have like this really great, talented young lad who could create so much space, and we don't utilize it. And then I cannot believe that we have another poor performance, as far as I'm concerned, from Pogba
and Martial.
Well, Martial really, he got into a pretty bad head concussion there.
Right.
And then there was what clearly, and I'm trying to be as impartial as possible here, was quite clearly a foul on him.
Mm.
Okay, it's in his own box, but...
Yeah, but I mean, look, and people want to, like, slag off Fellaini. Fellaini did more work in the middle
right.
today.
First half, he was brilliant. Pogba.
Yes, he gives away a penalty, but there's a reason he's giving away the penalty, because he tracks his runner. Why isn't he tapping Pogba on the shoulder and be like, why don't you track your runner, buddy? Like,
right.
You know, you're getting paid about five times more than me. Like, why am I doing all the donkey work?
And Rashford's running down the wing, but you can tell he wants to get in. He wants to get into the box and take around defenders.
That's what I'm saying. It's
surprise, surprise, he gets in the box and he scores.
Yeah. Did the same thing against Hull in the last minute. Kind of went, stuff this, boss. I know you want me playing out here. I'm going to just dart straight into the centre of the goals there. Cross comes in from Rooney against Hull, back of the net. Cross comes in from, from Zlatan today? Goal. I mean,
right.
it for me, it almost like Mourinho's maybe got to say, you know what? Let's have a stint at 4-4-2.
Right.
Play two out-and-out strikers. Rooney's not your out-and-out striker. I don't even think that... from what I've seen this season so far...
Get the armband off him.
I think he can still be a club captain, per se, but I don't think he deserves to start. He gives you nothing. I haven't seen anything. I'd much rather see Pogba play higher up the field, Fellaini in with someone like Herrera, who I think is a multi-versatile player. And if you ask him to be a scrappy holding midfielder, I think the kid can do it.
What about Carrick, though?
Well, Carrick's injured. Carrick's
when
ideal.
He comes back, though, like he's...
Yeah, Carrick's got to walk in the team.
He right.
has to walk into the team.
He's a composer.
But I think you have to look at maybe going to play three at the back. But I don't think Jose trusts three individuals to be able to do it. I don't think you can play Luke Shaw in a back three with Antonio Valencia.
Right.
I don't think you can do that. Could you play him back there with him? If Bally is the guy you're going to, could you play him with him and like a Chris Smalling or a Daley Blin? Possibly. But for me, in the past three games, Eric Bally has looked extremely average. And we were all raving about him in the first 2.5 games, how much composure this kid has and so much pace and all that kind of thing. Looks really, really average these past few games. And he's been found wanting. And I know he's a young kid and, you know, you can't expect too much from him. But maybe in the Manchester derby, maybe you don't expose him to that right away. Maybe there is a little bit of a coddling process there where you do play Valencia, Shaw, Smalling, and Daley Blind.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Don't take anything away from Watford.
I mean, there's two other points.
They scored three goals, we scored one.
Two other points I want to make. De Gea made nearly a howler. He goes out, tries to get the ball, loses it, Luckily, they don't score. They miss. It goes wide of the
ball. Yeah.
And God, that was a bad
miss. That was like squeaky bum time, that was. And then, obviously, it doesn't help. Like, you know, towards the end of the game, they bring on Depay. Depay then gets... He's trying to say to the linesman, hey, look, he's tugged my shirt. The linesman's obviously fouled him, and now he's trying to, you know, basically come to the linesman, and you don't do that. You're going to get a yellow from it.
Yeah. Well, look, Depay comes on with, I think, 7 minutes to go.
I knew we lost it when he came on.
I think he touched the ball twice and gave away three free kicks.
And then Rooney does the same thing a few minutes later, and then the penalty.
Yeah, it's just... It boils out of frustration. When it got back to 1-1, we were still pressing forward. Zlatan had a great chance to make it 2-1, but it was a great save from Gomez. Fair play for Watford and their manager. He makes a change, brings on the new guy, Zuniga, I think his name is. Hasn't scored for 4 years, 4.5 years. But lo and behold, he comes on and scores within 25 seconds. So, yeah, fair play. And he wins the penalty as well. So that's not a bad debut for that guy.
Right.
And Troy Deeney lashes it into the roof of the net.
Troy Deeney.
So, you know what? Just
he's,
the way
he's
it is.
He's put on a bit of weight.
The heart and soul of Watford.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, you're listening to Blokes on the Bench. Feel free to give us a call on 434-284-9470 or visit our Facebook page at Blokes on the Bench.
Facebook.com.
There's a reason I don't do this, folks.
Yeah, okay.
Facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench.
And remember, we got a competition coming up. Absolutely. You got a competition coming up at about 22-7, you can win yourself a free copy of FIFA 17.
Oh, 10 minutes away, guys.
All right, so Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace versus Stoke. Crystal Palace, you're going to have to eat your words, son.
I know. I'm having to do that a lot recently.
What did you...
Yeah. Oh, Pardew, eh?
He is smiling.
But I'll tell you what, I watched the game, and I'll tell you, the front four for Palace, really, really good. Really good. Andros Townsend scores a great goal, but he was brilliant all game. Punchin was really good. Benteke doing what Benteke does. I know he didn't score. And Zaha, obviously,
right.
Looked pretty good. But yeah, now I've just seen that you've got James Tompkins written down there. That's where from West Ham to Crystal Palace. And he managed to get on the score sheet today. Scott Dan with a trademark bullet header. James McArthur's goal was a bit scrappy. Took a massive deflection off US player Cameron. And then Townsend rounds it off with a really, really great finish. And I think Arnautovic scored a tidy finish in like literally the last kick of the game. So not much to talk about there except, Palace. I think that's what, back-to-back wins. Slowly coming back into it.
Surprising in a 4-1 result that Benteke didn't get a goal.
Yeah, didn't score. But I tell you what, we should probably point out there is that Stoke, they're in dire straits. They cannot buy a point to save their lives. And I tell you, Mark Hughes, he could be on some borrowed time there because last year there was, you know, the similarities to them almost playing like the Barca style with Arnautovic, Bojan,
Shaqiri.
And I'm telling you, this year, just really poor. Really, really poor. I think they could be in trouble.
Yeah.
But they're in trouble already. It's whether or not they can get out of it. Mm. But, not a great start to the campaign for the Stoke boys.
Yeah. So, anyway, next game. Swansea were at St. Mary's Stadium. Southampton. Obviously, sorry to any Welsh people who are listening, by the way. That was the worst Welsh impression ever. Charlie Austin got on the scoreboard.
Yeah, it was actually really funny that because about 5 minutes before he scored, tidy little finish, he was put clean through and he's rattled it against the bar. It's hit the bar, hit him, going in, and the keeper's managed to get a hand to it. It was just the most bizarre shot I've ever seen. And he couldn't believe that it went wide. Like I said, 5 minutes later, tidy little finish at the back post and snuck it in there. And 3 points to the Saints. And, you know, Swansea again, not enough. I mean, you watch the highlights, just a handful of half chances. Saints go marching on. So, 3 points to them, and they'll move on to next week. So, fair play to them.
All right, next game is at White Hart Lane, Tottenham versus Sunderland.
This was like, if ever you want to see a game where it's just total domination, this was it. Sunderland did nothing.
And Januzaj got sent off.
Januzaj gets sent off. He had a terrible day.
He always has a terrible day.
He gets sent off in like the 90th minute. But yeah, you watch the highlights of this, all you're going to see is footage from the Sunderland penalty
box. Eden, terrible day, Januzaj.
Although Pienaar missed an absolute sitter to go one up.
Yeah.
I heard some rumors that Harry Kane come off on crutches. Is there anyone heard anything about that?
I didn't hear that. I know he scored a little poacher's goal, which would do wonders for his confidence. but yeah, Spurs looked good, ground out a result, didn't they? So fair play to him.
Yep. All right, so La Liga. Obviously the results from La Liga. I'll pass them over to Ryan.
One game that really stood out for me was Leganés versus Barcelona. So this team, newly promoted, never played in La Liga before. They hadn't scored in La Liga thus far. They're at home, played Barca. Barca are 5-0 up. Leganés score in like literally, what, the last 3 minutes? And you would think it was the match winner. The place went mental. The players are like up, dancing, kissing each other, hugging each other. Like they just won the entire thing. You know, it's their first goal in La Liga. So the fans went nuts, and you even had a lot of the Barcelona fans like clapping them and like kind of cheering with them. So that was really good to see. Your regular goal scorers were on the sheet. I think it started Messi, Neymar, Suarez. So yeah, they ran out 5-1 winners. And then you had Madrid at Espanyol winning 2-0. So pretty standard for La Liga, really.
Atletico won 5-0.
Yeah, against Sporting de Gijón or whatever they're called.
It's Gijón.
Yeah, and then you got Bilbao beat Valencia 2-1, which is a pretty decent result. And Villarreal beat Real Sociedad 2-1, which is another good result. Looks like the boring game of today was Osasuna versus Celta Vigo. So, yeah, 0-0. Yeah,
what time is it? Hmm?
But, yeah, so Barca, Real doing what they do, Atletico doing what they do. It looks like it's, business as usual in La Liga.
Now, we've talked about this before, about, I mean, your opinion, obviously you're English.
I am.
Is that the EPL, Premier League, is the best league in the world.
Absolutely.
And I want to, now that we're talking, we're doing to La Liga, and obviously we don't want to anger any La Liga fans out there, but, like, explain a little bit about why you think the Premier League trumps all other leagues.
Because okay. So La Liga has got Bale, Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar,
the
Suarez.
Usual suspects.
Like, okay, so they're probably Griezmann. Your top five. Yeah, they're your top five, top six world-class players, right?
Right.
Out there. But for me, for competitiveness, for entertainment, You just cannot beat the Premier League. There's just something about it. Yeah, I know I'm biased, and I'm always going to say that. But for me, a lot of people, I'm not the only one that thinks it's the best league in the world. A lot of people,
I do too. I'm just asking you your opinion on it.
And I actually think it kind of shows that with our English national team being so poor,
how much of the players are coming in from?
Well, it's all about the overseas.
Oh, right,
players.
Of course.
All about the overseas players. Hope for that to change one day soon, hopefully in my lifetime. It'd be nice to see England do something on the international level and actually win something like the Euros or the World Cup, but
it's always dreaming.
Certainly keep dreaming about that one. But yeah, for me, just the standard of football. Look, I think in a way you have to remove Barcelona and Real Madrid, if you like, from the conversation when you talk about it.
I mean, but for me, some of the teams you didn't even know how to pronounce.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that what I'm saying is Real Sociedad in the next 10 years aren't going to win La Liga. You had Leicester City win it last year. You've had Blackburn Rovers win it. You know what I mean?
Chelsea.
These fairy steps.
Arsenal.
Well, yeah, they're powerhouses now. But I'm saying, like,
even Valencia is not going to win.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, someone like Sociedad, they're... For me, in La Liga, you've got too many teams that just make the numbers up.
Right.
A little bit you know, you could compare it a little bit to the old school day, not necessarily now, but the old school days of the Scottish Premier League, where it was literally
Rangers and Celtic.
They were the only two teams that were ever going to win it. And for me, I know Atletico have, you know, really come on strong in the past like 4 or 5 years. But it's still, it's Barca or it's Real Madrid.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is. But you know what? A lot of people will say, well, you know, in England, it's either, you know.
Right, but there's more teams. There's a little bit more choice there.
I kind of.
And yes, money has
played
a part with that. Man City, money came in with that. You know, Chelsea, money came in. But that, you know, and then obviously you've got your old money clubs, Manchester United, Liverpool.
It's all down to perception. Like, right. I personally think the English Premier League is the best league in the world, but I wouldn't knock anybody that said La Liga was the best in the world or the Bundesliga. Well, I probably would if they said the Bundesliga, but yeah, I mean, it's.
Italian league?
Shocking.
Really?
Shocking.
Italian league has really gone downhill over the last 5 or 6 years.
I remember when I was 10 years old, mate, watching Channel 4, and you'd watch Transworld Sport, and if there was a game that was 2-0, you were literally like nearly passing out because every other game was 0-0, 1-0, 1-0, 0-0.
The drama in the Premier League is, to me, the best. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just one last thing about that as well. And I know some people love it, some people hate it, but I do think like the British media actually play a really big part in that entertainment.
Of course,
that drama of kind of making pantomime villains out of like your Costas and.
But, and then the managers
like
are kind of.
Like
you
your
know.
Joey Bartons and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's all part and parcel. I mean, I think the whole package is just the best.
All right, guys, the time is now 22. We'll be right back. And don't forget, when we do come back,
it's competition time.
Competition time. Your chance to win FIFA 17. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, welcome back. It's competition time. You can win yourself a copy of FIFA 17. This is going to be a four-part question.
We're looking for four
Answers, all Premier League related, all right? So this is your chance to win a copy. All right, so I'm going to give the questions and then how you win it. All right. In fact, Ryan, do you want to
answer?
I'll
go for it, mate. Yeah.
So go for it. Go for it, mate.
First part of our question is, who is the Premier League's all-time leading goal scorer? Started in 92-93, we're looking for the Premier League's all-time leading goal scorer. Part two, we're looking for the Premier League's all-time top-scoring midfield player. And part three, the Premier League's all-time top scoring defender. And we're also for our fourth and final part to have a chance of winning a copy of FIFA 17 is we're looking for the Premier League goalkeeper with the most
clean sheets
in Premier League history.
All right, so that's the all-time Premier League top goal scorer of all time, the top scoring midfielder, top goal scoring defender, and I'm mincing my words here, and then the goalkeeper with all-time
most clean sheets.
All right. If you think you got the answers there, here's the instructions, all right? You have until midday next Sunday, all right, to enter your competition. It is by email only. You're going to go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/blokesonthebench. There's a little email button there. I want you to like our page, hit email, and then you're going to put those answers there and along with the name and contact information. And we're just going to pick one at random next week. And then we'll run another four-part question. Obviously, you can go on Google and get this. It's not hard. We're going to pick the answers next week. As I said, the game comes out on the 27th. All right, so you'll get the copy around about the 28th, 29th. I said we'll announce the winner next week. And then we'll run the competition again next week and run it, I guess, the week after. So there you go. All right, so good luck to everyone. And as I said, I've played the demo. It looks incredible. We're actually going to try, if we can, to get a TV hooked up in here and actually have a game going.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm sure I'll get my rear end handed.
You're not a big fan, to be honest.
I'm terrible at it, mate. Always have been.
All right, guys. I'm going to pass it over to Ryan again because we do have the Champions League results.
Yeah, go ahead. Let Marco do it.
I can read them out.
United weren't in it, were they? Let's be honest. So let's pass it to Aguna, who at least had something to shout about in the last few minutes of that game. So take it away, Marco.
All right, so the main results midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday. The first thing I'd like to mention is...
Andy's handwriting is terrible. I know.
Yeah. It's better than mine. Man City game against Mönchengladbach was postponed today due to rain, heavy rain.
That was hilarious. Did you see the state of that pitch when they were trying to roll
it? It was bad. I felt bad for the reporter who had to stand out in it. So the first game I'm going to talk about, obviously, is probably the marquee game of Tuesday. It was my boys Arsenal against Paris Saint-Germain in Paris. We looked absolutely dreadful in probably the first 30 minutes. They got on the score sheet in under a minute. Just completely lack of concentration.
No one,
that
at least the Watford wasn't that bad.
But the second half, we got it together, came back, had a nice equalizer. And, you know, the game could have gone either way. I'd like to hear Ryan's opinion on the game. You know, Cavani missed a couple goals. Great, great performance from Ospina, our backup keeper. I think he was definitely man of the match.
You know who I think influenced that game more than anyone? Ibra. Ibra not being there. Honestly, I think that he has, you know, he's not up front with Cavani anymore. I do think he was part of that team, like a big part of that team.
Well, of course he was. I mean, he scored like 50 goals in like 49 appearances.
Right.
Ridiculous. But you know what? I wouldn't even, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd just be so grateful that they got the goal. I think it was Sanchez that scored.
It was, yeah.
Tiny little finish. 1-1 away at PSG. Thanks very much. Bring
we'll
them
take
to the
that.
Emirates.
Right, and then tear them.
I was very happy with the result after conceding a goal in the first minute and
best time
just playing drivel.
If you're going to concede a goal, it's the best time to do it.
All right, for the next result, it was Barca versus Celtic. That was just a thumping.
Thumping isn't even a word that describes this.
Yeah.
I know Celtic fans that were just almost in tears.
You have to watch. I think it's Messi's second goal. It's basically 1-2 with Neymar. Wait for it. 1-2 with Neymar
Tiki-tack.
Again. 1-2 again with Neymar and sticks it into the net. It was just like... like watching... Year 11s playing against year 6s in the playground. It was just unbelievable. They walked through them. And Celtic are the powerhouse in Scotland. I mean, they just thumped local rivals, Rangers, like 5-1 the other week. So they had massive confidence going into this game. And I'm telling you, the divide is just astronomical.
Yeah. And do you think they have the best attack in all of Europe, Barca?
Hands down. My thing is it's not going to be, in 2 years' time, they are going to smash the record to bring in De Bruyne. This is what I think. They're going to smash the record to bring in De Bruyne, and they will be the most formidable force that you've ever seen in football history.
Yeah.
All right, back to the results. Man City beat Borussia Mönchengladbach 4-0. That was a good result. Kevin De Bruyne, as we just mentioned, was very influential in the game. He's just so good on set pieces. The next result was Bayer Leverkusen against CSKA Moscow. That was a 2-2 draw.
It was a good game.
Dynamo Kiev is the next one versus Napoli. Napoli pulled out ahead 2-1, even without the services of Higuain. Benfica and Besiktas, that was a 1-1 draw. Bayern versus Rostov, that was a 5-0 thumping. Bayern once again looking very good this year as well. Definitely have to put them in the hat for winning the whole thing. PSV versus Atletico. Atletico squeezed that one out 1-0. My favorite result was Tottenham losing at Wembley to Monaco 2-1. Real Madrid, that was a killer game.
This was the best game out of any game this week for drama. You've got Monaco, they were winning like 1-0 with like, 3 minutes to go, something like that? Because I think...
it was Sporting.
No, they were playing Monaco.
Oh, you're talking about Tottenham. Oh, sorry, I thought you were...
Oh, no, Madrid, yeah, sorry, yeah. And Sporting are winning 1-0 with like 3 minutes to go. Ronaldo does what Ronaldo does, trademark free kick.
Free kick.
In the 89th minute. And then, who was it? Morata scored.
Yes, Morata with the header.
Yeah, unbelievable finish. So, look, staring defeat in the eyes at home, Champions League, curtain call, and just like that, just took them 4 minutes, turn it all around, job done. Unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. But I thought it was really interesting that Zidane brought off, who did he bring off? Benzema and Gareth Bale, and kept Ronaldo on there, who's still looking for a little bit of match fitness. But that's why you keep him on there. Top, top players win you games. And keep him on there, bent the free kick in.
Yeah. Just a quick reminder, guys, by the way, you're tuning into Brooks on the Bench here on 94.7 WBBC. You can get in contact with us 434-284-9470 or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Brooks on the Bench, and there's obviously email us the competition for your chance to win FIFA 17. What are the results? And I know that Leicester's on there.
We got a couple
Club
more.
Brugge.
Yeah. So Leicester beat Club Brugge
3-0. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
The next result is going to be Dortmund with a thumping against Legia. It was 6-0. American Christian Pulisic looked really good in that game. Was at the heart of the midfield and a lot of the build-up, and also got a couple of assists in that game. Mm. Porto versus Copenhagen. Copenhagen would be 1-1. Lyon versus Dinamo Zagreb was 3-0 in favor of Lyon. And then Juve and Sevilla, that was another marquee matchup, but very disappointing result for both teams. It was a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I saw the highlights of that one. That was not a good
Must
game.
Not have been a bunch of highlights.
No. Is that all the results?
That's all the all Champions right. League results. That'll resume here back in a couple of weeks, so we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, so great starts for Leicester, their first trip to the Champions League. Not so good, like you touched on, not so good for the mighty Spurs, playing their first game at Wembley, a new thing they're doing this year. I don't really get it. I think that actually them being at White Hart Lane would suit them so much more. Like,
why do they do that?
It's a revenue thing. It's a branding thing. It's, you know, I don't know. I would, but if I was somebody, you know, if I was somebody like Monaco, I wouldn't want to go to White Hart Lane and try and dig out a result there against them. But
all right. Well, let's get on to the UVA results. We do have a special guest. One of our assistants, Sarah, is going to read out the results for the men's and the women's games. Go ahead, Sarah.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. Okay, so for the UVA men's team, they played Wednesday, September 14th against VCU at home and beat them 3-0. Saturday the 17th, they played Clemson at home and came back from being down 2 goals to tie 3-3. They have a game coming up Saturday the 24th against Louisville, Kentucky in Louisville at 7 p.m. For the women's team, they played an away game Sunday the 11th at Georgetown and lost 3-2. Friday the 16th, they played Virginia Tech at home and won 2-0.
Yeah, see, that's what I want to see.
Come on, you Cav.
They have two away games coming up. Thursday, September 22nd, playing against Miami in Coral Gables, Florida at 7 p.m. And then Sunday the 25th versus Florida State at 1 p.m. in Tallahassee.
Awesome. There's going to be some good games coming up. Yeah, we need to support.
A little nice stint in Florida for the women's team. That ought to be nice.
Yeah. Don't forget, the tickets are so cheap to get down there.
Get yourself down there.
I mean, I'm going to try to get down. I've been down. We were down there for one of the exhibition games at the start, and such a great atmosphere down there, and it's
some
good.
Really
to
good players on display as well. So,
absolutely,
yeah, definitely get down there. Support the local guys
leads,
and the girls,
lads and lassies.
Both great teams. So definitely
all right.
Do that.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Nice one, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So let's get on to the fixtures for next week.
Yeah, go ahead.
Manchester United versus Leicester City.
Oh, great. Another struggle at 3 points.
At Trafford or King Power?
I believe that's at Old Trafford.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so, because they'll only thump us 2-0.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think of that? I mean,
at this point, I'll be happy with a point. I'll take a draw.
Right.
That's how optimistic I am about United right now. Three losses on the bounce. Yeah, I'll take a point.
All right, Bournemouth versus Everton. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, I'd go Everton to sneak that 2-1.
The Cherries? Beat the Cherries?
Yeah, I think so.
Liverpool versus Hull.
I tell you what, this is one of those games where I think everyone wants to talk about Liverpool. I'm going to go 1-1.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going to go 2-1.
To who?
Liverpool.
Okay.
Haaland looking, I mean,
Haaland
yeah.
has a lot of fight in him.
Yeah, we might have a sneaky $5 bet on that after the show.
All right, so Middlesbrough versus Tottenham Hotspurs. Is this at home or is this at Wembley?
It's got to be Tottenham.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Tottenham. I'd go maybe just narrowest of margins, maybe 2-1 Tottenham.
Here's an interesting one. Stoke versus West Bromwich Albion.
Who knows? Absolutely.
All I know is it's nap time next Saturday.
take all the data out of it. Who knows? It could be anything. It could end up being like 6-0 to Stoke. It could be 5-0 to West Brom. Or it could be the worst 0-0 in the history.
Your dad's a Wolves fan, so I'm taking it he wants, you know.
He'll be pulling for Stoke probably, yeah, but... That's a hard thing to do, isn't it, at the moment, the way they're playing.
You were saying that you've been to some of the West Bromwich games and you had nothing good to say about the fans.
No, they're good fans.
I'm not putting words in your mouth.
There's nothing wrong with the West Bromwich Albion fans. I'm just saying that, you know, on this platform, out of respect to Mr. Greg, I can't say too many good things about West Brom. But look, they had a great result yesterday, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play to him. Good luck.
Sunderland versus Crystal Palace.
Got to be Palace. Sunderland are in massive trouble. But again, that's another one that it could be anything. It could be Sunderland 3-0. You just don't know. Some of these teams just turn up on the day, and sometimes they just don't. It's just bizarre. But yeah, I'm going to go Palace win. Maybe 2-0.
All right. I can't help it. Swansea at Man City.
You got to go Man City, haven't you? I'd love Swansea to get something from the game, but let's be honest.
Say at Man City, it's not at Man City.
It's going to be 3-0 to Man City, let's be honest. I know, it's sad, isn't it, mate?
Here's the barn burner of the week coming up right now. The barn burner of the week, Arsenal versus Chelsea.
You know what? I'm going Arsenal.
I'm going Arsenal too.
There you go. You have to think about that one.
Yeah.
Just doesn't look so convincing this season. They've gotten a lot of garbage goals through Costa. I think, you know, they need to probably play Fabregas over either Modric or Oscar, but that's just me.
Right.
Yeah, I think I actually think that might be a really high-scoring game. I actually can see Arsenal winning
that. It normally is.
Like 3-2, 4-2, something like that.
All right. What about West Ham versus Southampton?
That's on the Sunday, right?
Yeah. The one game on the Sunday.
Yeah. Again, who knows? If West Ham turn up, they could easily win that 3-0. But on current form, current stats, I think you got to go Southampton with a cheeky 1-0.
Right.
And that will put West Ham in dire straits, which they're already in.
I like Southampton. I really like Southampton.
Yeah, let's go Southampton 1-0 win, mate.
1-0. No, we usually don't do the Monday fixtures because obviously Sunday when we're in next week. But I would like to say this, obviously, Burnley versus Watford. Could that be a snoozer or could that be...
It's going to be a snoozer, but you're going to go Watford 1-0.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I got to say about
that. That's all the fixtures for this week. Don't forget you are tuned into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. There is a competition. I will run that through you again. Run it through you again? That didn't make any sense. All right, so there's four parts to this question, all right? What is the Premier League's all-time top goal scorer?
Part right. one.
All-time top goal scoring midfielder.
Part two.
All-time top goal scoring defender.
That's part three.
And goalkeeper with the most clean sheets.
In Premier League history. Those are your four parts. Again, send your answers to the email section on the Facebook page.
Yeah, with your contact. Yeah.
Well, when they post it, it's going to have their thing.
Oh,
anyway,
yes,
so
you're such a smart guy. Thank you, Ryan.
So, yeah, we'll be able to Facebook sort you a little bit. But anyway, yeah, so get that on the email section of the Facebook page, /blokes on the bench.
Awesome.
And like I said, we'll be reading out those winners. When is it, Andy?
We'll be reading on it next week. And you got until midday next Sunday. All right, just before we go, I do want to thank two people that are important to the show. Jeff, for giving us the opportunity, and Mike, for helping us out behind the scenes. We would not be able to do this without these guys.
Give us a wave. Mikey, give us a wave.
Thank you very much for these guys. I really appreciate what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And thank you for listening and showing your support. It's been beautiful. All right, guys, I'm Andy.
Ryan.
Mark.
And we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.